Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show. I had to think about that. Which show is today? What day is today? It's been a week. It's been an interesting week. It's been a fun week as well. Yeah. Well, hey, everyone. This is the big show. The show where we talk about everything but Apple. Everything going on in tech, at least, but Apple. And yeah, I'm Patrice. I'm the interim host for the interim host. For the original host, which is Ewan. Jeff is out doing family things again, taking care of family, which is important. So I hope he's doing well. He'll be back soon, hopefully. And until then, you have to kind of deal with me. But on the plus side, we have our very good and very traditional at this point. I don't know how long you've been on guest with me. We have Tom. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I think I'm doing great, thank you. I think it's been a couple of years. Seems
Yeah.
like only yesterday, but
It's like, I would say at least two or three at this point.
two or yeah, maybe three, yeah,
Yeah,
ever
something
since I
like that.
retired.
Yeah, that sounds about right from timeline perspective. It's like around, I think right before you retired, you started joining, so.
I did, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it's been a while.
Been a while. I
And
mean,
still
I should be good at this, and I'm not yet.
Yeah, I mean, tell me about it. I was mentioning in the pre-show. I'm like, I shouldn't tell anybody, but I think I've been doing some kind of streaming for, I think, closing in on 18 years. I've been
Wow.
doing podcasts for at least like 13. Yeah, probably, no, actually a little bit more than 13 by now. So I should not forget like to turn on the stream and turn on audio on the stream and stuff like that. Forget the recording, any of that. And I still
The
forgot.
problem is, the problem is, it's too easy
Yes.
compared to 18 years ago. So you think, oh, just
That's
click a couple
true.
buttons.
That
In the old
is
days, you
true.
had to spend all morning to get it up and running, probably.
Yeah. No, not quite. I mean, there was a lot of it took a couple of months to get the setup working. Like it wasn't as easy as these days with like Omcast or YouTube or whatever. Took very long to get the streaming server up and running and the website that kind of showed it and whatever. And then we were doing a live web radio with like video and everything. So, but the streaming server you had to basically hand over. So one person, one DJ would or DJ or DJing would like have a stream for an hour and then hand over to the next one. And because we're all doing it from home all over Germany, it was like, so there was like a handover. We had a chat. It was like 3, 2, 1, and one person would disconnect, the next person would connect. Because if it took too long, then people would basically disconnect. Like their browser would
Oh,
basically
man.
disconnect them, and then you would lose them because some people might not reconnect then. So it was like always like a nerve-wracking thing. It was like, oh, we're like, oh, we did it. We timed it well, and everybody's still there. Like,
And how
oh,
was
okay.
the stream being served? Was it from your service provider?
Yeah, we had a server. We had a server in somewhere in
Oh.
Germany, somewhere. I think it was even in someone's basement, garage, whatever. They were there. I mean, that wasn't required. It was just how that was done in this case. I remember when we set up our own network, we went with like a hosting provider. So, which actually the one that my servers still run on. Like, so I've had the servers. I mean, not the exact server, but I've been with my current hosting provider for also close to that, like 16 years or something. So, then I've upgraded the servers a couple of times in between. So, it's not the same server. It would be a little bit expensive for that server.
Well, because 18 years ago, you didn't just point your video to a YouTube page, right? It was a little bit harder than
Yeah,
that.
no, it was like what was it called? iStream or something like that. I don't remember. Yeah, I think it's still around because I've seen it. I think Audio Hijack even still supports that server and because you can do streaming with that broadcast to an online radio server, but I don't know remember what they support. Oh. Yeah.
That would be pretty incredible that they've lasted this long through so much technology.
Icecast, I think it was called, yeah.
Icecast.
Icecast, Nicecast, something like that. So yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. Yeah, but yeah, it's been a journey.
You you probably didn't have 1080p cameras back then.
Oh no. We had, I mean, we had good Logitech. What was it? Was it already the 920, C920? I don't remember. Might have
Seven,
been even
probably.
probably or something like that. It was one of the seven. It was 6, 5, whatever. It was a Logitech, and it was like, think at that point it could do 720p, but we couldn't. We didn't have the internet bandwidth, especially. I mean, as a student, in like in a city where I think my internet connection was like 3 megabits or something down, and like not even one up or something. Yeah,
Which
I was
would
very
you
unlucky. I lived in a street that didn't have good DSL. There was other areas where they had at least like 16 or more. So.
And you remember when you first got DSL, it was like a godsend. Wow, look at this, one
This is
megabit.
fast.
Yeah, one megabit. Oh my God.
Up from ISDN, where you had to combine your channels to have, what was it, 128K, I think, 64 per channel. Yeah. Stuff like, and then
They
nobody could call
still
you.
around here, their AT&T still offers in
Oh
some
yeah.
neighborhoods DSL, and they do the thing where they combine two phone lines, the DSL bonding or whatever they call
Oh.
it.
Yeah, exactly. No, that is still a thing even in Germany and whatever. Like, fiber's been spreading, but even I think pretty sure here in Vienna there are still areas where there's only DSL. Yeah, I mean cable kind of came in and then got really faster. I think, I mean, at this point, even with all the VDSL and whatever they're doing, I think cable's just faster. That's why all the
Yeah,
All the
it's actually pretty
companies.
amazing how much speed they can pump through a coaxial cable. I never thought that it would get to 1 gig. That's
Yeah, but
pretty incredible.
it is. I mean, it's also because it's shielded quite well and whatever, so it's kind of
Right.
better. Like the little tiny flimsy phone lines are not so well suited for that. Yeah, that, I mean, that's fine. Like here, at least here, and I guess in the US as well, like the providers that had DSL were probably the first ones that decided then to at some point to switch after they had competition from cable, at least decided, okay,
Right.
we should probably do fiber.
Right.
Because
Right.
it's like, okay, they couldn't go. I mean, that was interesting for a little while in Germany because VDSL came around, and so all the fiber movement and like the subsidies from the government or whatever, everything kind of stopped because, Germany, and like, oh, why change anything? I'm like, okay, we did DSL was fine, let's just do that. And then we got like 100 megabits, and then pretty quickly people realized, like, yeah, but the world is moving on and streaming and all of
Right.
that, and even 100 megabits with a bigger family is not enough.
No.
So, and I was like, ah, oh, maybe we should do fiber. And then came back. Like all of a sudden, it was like fiber was everywhere again, but there was a little lull in there. It was like, I remember, like 10, yeah, almost exactly 10 years ago. There was like in Germany, there was like big, like, oh, subsidy, government subsidy to put in fiber. I think my city was even one of the first ones where they did it, except for like some trial areas where they had done it. But like citywide, basically, or almost citywide, small city. I mean, it's like 200,000 people. It's not a big city. But relatively speaking, at least, and it was like, oh, big thing, and oh, like fiber's gonna, like Koblenz is first, and then everybody else is gonna get it eventually as well, and all of that from the big, well, the big, almost monopolist still in Germany, Deutsche Telekom, aka also T-Mobile, same company, or kind of the same company. Said, and then and there were so many people who were like, oh, I don't need fiber, and they put it in the streets, like a lot of places they put it in the streets, and then if you wanted it, I think you the landlord or the owner of the building, whatever it was, had to pay, what was it, I think like it was 150 euros, and unless it was super crazy complicated and far away, that was it. Like there were a couple of cases where I think they had to pay
Wow,
like a
that's
little
not
bit of a
very much
premium.
money.
Yeah, it was subsidized. Basically, it was like, okay, you have to pay a little bit, but it was mostly subsidized. That's it. Unless it was a really crazy case where they had to,
Right.
like, I mean, they would put it in your basement. I mean, they wouldn't put it in like the entire building, but into the basement of
Sure.
the building. So unless it was super crazy far away and it was really expensive to do that, it was just subsidized. But I
Yeah,
knew
here.
so many places where I was like, I don't need fiber, and then regretted it like a couple years later, because then it
Yeah,
was that cheap.
we had a similar thing here in the dot-com boom era. All the big telecoms like WorldCom, all the companies that went broke, laid
Hey,
backbones
remember
of fiber.
WorldCom?
Yeah, they laid backbone, fiber for their backbones on all the big major arteries. They didn't bring them to houses. They were like going between San Francisco and San Jose, laying fiber, tearing up all the streets. Then they all went bankrupt, and so there's all this fiber just doing nothing,
Dark
dark
fiber.
fiber under the street. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dark fiber is something else, but
But it
yeah.
took, another 15 years before people started, AT&T and Verizon started routing at the houses.
Yeah, and I mean, Google had a hand at that because
Google that, Google
they
Fi,
started
yeah.
Google Fiber and kind of competing with them, and I was like, oh, maybe you should do this too.
Right.
Yeah, I said like, but it took in Germany then said forever, because then, as I said, like I think two or three cities got it, because that was the government subsidy, and then after, I mean, even within Koblenz, it got like basically, I remember when I moved into my apartment, my landlord had kind of missed the window because it was still in construction, and he didn't really realize that he needed that. He's like, I would have been so easy to just put the cable in here, and he was like,
Right.
okay, whatever, doesn't matter, we'll just do it. He's the kind of
No.
person who's like, oh, let's just do it. Like, oh, not a problem, we'll do it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was
That's
really
nice.
nice. He was a great landlord. I'm still in contact with him every now and then when I'm in the area. We grab a coffee somewhere. It was really cool. And we tried a million different ways to get that. We were all like, there was like, I think six apartments or eight or whatever. We're like, well, we want a fiber and we're gonna pay for it. It's not a problem. Just put it in there. And we like submitted forms and called people and used all the connections we had to Deutsche Telekom. And it never went anywhere. In 10 years, 10 years later, he still doesn't have it because they just didn't care. The government money was paid out, and afterwards it was like, well, that's not their problem.
Really?
Yeah, it was literally, I mean, we literally used any connection we had. He used to have a company, like quite big company for like beverages, like selling them locally to like restaurants or whatever, like a distributor basically. And so he had a lot of connections and had connections also to telecom. And he was like, okay, I'll use my contacts and see if I can't reach someone. And even they failed. They're like, even internally, they were like, yep. Yeah. I mean, we tried, we found some people, but they just didn't care. They're like, yeah, it's on the list. Never got anywhere. And I think last
Yeah.
year, actually, yeah, almost 10 years, last year they finally managed to get it put in. So 9 years later, but that's welcome to Germany. It's like, I mean, he was like, I don't care what it costs. Like, I'm like, the electrician is actually the electrician behind us is like owns the building, or actually is like a co-owner of the building. It's like, I don't know, it's like, if I have to send some of my guys over to put like a fiber cable, it's like, pfft, I'll do that this afternoon. Not
No
a
big
problem.
deal.
Not a problem. We'll do it this afternoon. Like, just do it. But just like, we need the permission to do that. Like, we'll do it. It's not a problem. Never cared.
So the moral of the story is rent an apartment from somebody who has a group of electricians working for
I can tell you
them.
that. When I moved in, I was like, I wanted a kitchen island, and my landlord, oh, as nice as he was not great at thinking ahead and planning ahead and like how to lay out things. And I was like, do you have this massive kitchen here, but you didn't plan for kitchen on it? I'm like, that's not really smart. And he's like, yeah, that's actually a good point. And I was like, okay, but I want my stove, like my stovetop, like in the island. And he's like, oh, not a problem. We'll just drill through the floor and put the power cable in. And the electrician, he got like heart palpitations. He was like, because we had underfloor heating.
Oh, that
So
wouldn't
it's
work
like, yeah,
very
that's
well.
not a good idea. And then, I mean, they put it in. Like, I didn't even pay for it at the end. It was like, I would have been like, it's like, okay, just like, it's not that expensive. Like, just put it in and tell me what it costs and I'll pay for it. And he was like,
Right.
nah, I'm doing so many things still, and the electrician's here every day anyway to finish some stuff. It's like, it's just gonna end up on that invoice. It's like, okay, fine. I mean, one way or
Nice.
another, I probably paid for it because I paid rent, so
Yep.
yeah, there's that. Anyway, long story short, we've been talking about a lot of stuff. Should we do some
Let's do a
stories?
show.
Let's do
Yeah,
a
let's
show.
do a
I mean,
story.
as funny as that is, and fiber is and all of that, let's do a show. So you have the first story in, which is great, about YouTube's new television.
The story is about this guy from Google or from YouTube, the CEO Neil Mohan, at the 20th anniversary of YouTube, stated that more people are watching YouTube on TV screens than on mobile in the
Interesting.
US, in
In
the
the US.
US.
Interesting. Okay.
So I thought that sort of blew my mind, given the
How
younger
many?
generation.
Yeah, and how many smartphones and tablets and whatever out there?
Right. But then, I have my nephews and nieces have kids, and most of them don't actually, they don't have cable TV or anything. And all the kids do is watch YouTube. The
That's
kids'
true.
channels on YouTube. They don't watch on phones. Sometimes they watch on tablets. But they probably do most of their watching on big screen televisions. But I'm sure this guy isn't lying, but there's probably internal data that they looked at, and it might be manipulated a little bit. But there's all, besides just a normal, the YouTube app or the YouTube website with just all the random videos, of course there's YouTube TV, which has gotten pretty popular in the US as a replacement for cable.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering like what the reasons behind that are. Like, I mean, one thing I can see, especially with younger generations, I mean, the thing that a lot of people used to do with like cable, or any kind of broadcast TV was like put it on and then have it running all day in the background, right? And I know kids that do the same thing. They're doing whatever, doing the homework or whatever they're doing, and it's literally just on the TV. Like YouTube is just running in the background. It's kind of background noise. So I
Well,
can
and I
see
think,
that.
if you correlate it to the lack of, or the diminishing, reducing subscribers on cable TV in the US, like if I use my nephew's family as an example, they stopped paying for cable 2 or 3 years ago, and but they still have a television in the living room, and
And
they
it's
just
probably just
watch
running.
Netflix and YouTube, basically.
And I mean, YouTube, actually, a lot of the streaming services, but especially YouTube, has made it super easy to basically, as I said, have it running in the background. It's just playing the next video, playing the next video. It's like literally you have to turn it off. The default is it plays the next thing. So if unless you stop it, it's literally gonna pick something like that it thinks you like and then just continue. So yeah, it's kind of like that. Is that yeah, you're right. I mean, there's probably still a ton of cable subscribers, but
There
I feel
is.
like
I
it.
mean, it's reducing, but
Yeah, sure. More and more.
it's aging out, right? I'm sure if you looked at it, drew a graph of percentage of cable TV subscribers, and the x-axis was age. It's all everybody over 40 has cable TV. Everybody under 40 has something else.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. It's probably not 40 anymore, but it's like, but for sure, the top is kind of moving to the right to the older age as people age, basically. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's also some. I mean, over time, step by step, some people are naturally gonna stop. The more, let's say, tech savvy, curious, whatever, or the people who are just like, it's too expensive and like,
It's
streaming is
way too
fine.
expensive.
Yeah,
And it's
streaming is
really,
fine.
if I'm an example, if I didn't watch live sports, I wouldn't have cable TV.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of people, but nowadays a lot of the live sports is moving to streaming only sometimes even. It's like
It will definitely all move. Yeah, and some is exclusive on streaming. And the challenge with that is the whole experience. If I wanted to get off a cable TV and get the sports I wanted through streaming services, then you're dealing with four different apps,
Yes, that
and
half of the time don't
it
work.
don't work right. And
Yeah, I
it's
remember
it
the complaints from.
5 years from now it might be okay, but right now it's still kind of a
Yeah,
mess.
I just remembered on Vision Profiles, it talked about trying to watch the Super Bowl on Vision Pro with the Tubi app and completely failing because it's just throwing error messages at people.
Oh, really? Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, I saw a lot of ads for that. That Tubi was a place where you could
Yeah,
watch the Super Bowl.
that was the free place to watch it, basically. And yeah, I said it just didn't. There were a couple people who got it to work, but mostly it just didn't work on the Vision Pro. So I don't know if it didn't
It would
work
have
in
been.
general, but I think it was a Vision Pro problem somewhat more, that they didn't really have the app working properly.
Would be interesting to try. You're not supposed to talk about Apple, but to try Vision Pro for watching a sporting event instead of on a big screen TV.
Yeah, I mean, in more general, I think VR, AR headsets are quite popular for that because they're really great for
Right.
content. I mean, I know a ton of people who would like to watch Meta, anything. There's the YouTube 360, I think is the app store for like 180, 360 videos, video content, and the normal YouTube content, of course, you can get there. So I think there's a ton of like, I think that there's a, it's personal opinion, unless you're watching with someone else. I literally just prefer watching it there because the experience is just so much better. So it's even
I
more
could see
frustrating if
that.
it doesn't work.
Right. But I could definitely see VR as a great way to watch content if you're watching on your own.
Right. Sitting
But
on a plane, sitting
I
on the airport, wherever you are, like,
right,
and you
right.
have your own movie theater with you.
I just right. I just can't imagine a scenario where a family of four is all sitting with VR headsets on
Not
watching a
yet.
movie.
Not
Not
yet.
yet.
I'm pretty sure, given how good it is, and I've been watching Saturday night, or well, for me it's always Sunday morning because it's like 3 a.m. I've been doing movie watches with like people around the world,
Really?
in spatial, like in like really, we were sitting
Oh,
in front of a movie screen and watching
that's
a movie
wild.
together, and it was amazing. So I can 100% see that if we get to the point where a family, an average family, can own these devices, they're not stupid expensive, that you could buy them for the
Right.
kids and whatever, I could 100% see that being a thing, that instead of having a TV, you just have the devices and they can get together and watch together. And they're just sitting on the couch and watching it, and everybody has the perfect, like everything, perfect experience. And they can talk to each other and have whatever, snacks and all of it, and just sit together the same way. It's just, okay, we have those glasses on or whatever it is. I could see that. I don't
Yeah.
know if it's going to happen, but I could see it at least.
Yeah. Well, probably not for me. I'll probably be dust in the ground by the time that becomes a thing.
I'm not so sure. I hope you have a really
1 year.
long, really healthy life.
Yeah,
So,
it depends how long I live, I guess.
yeah, if maybe, I mean, 10, I would say a good 10 years latest we'll have that. So,
Yeah, that's reasonable. I could see it happening in 10 years.
yeah.
If, you know, like you said, a Vision Pro type or a Meta
Yeah. It's
Quest
already on
type
the
of
way.
headset, it's just those are still pretty bulky.
Yeah. For sure, they have to get, as I said, smaller, it's cheaper. But I mean,
Right.
think I don't know if you've seen the movie Ready Player One. Everybody
Right.
had one, and they were quite simple devices they had. So,
Yeah.
yeah, there's even a Ready Player Two that goes even a step further. But I'm not going to
I
spoil
mean,
it for this.
I'll be the first to sign up for something. If somebody makes a slightly better version of the Meta, what
Meta
do they call
Quest.
those?
Quest.
No, the glasses with the sunglass company.
The Ray-Bans.
Ray-Bans.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems pretty interesting. I mean, I
Yeah.
would never buy something that required you to hook everything up to Facebook
Yeah, that's the
for
problem.
Meta.
That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, that's it. It's an interesting future what we're gonna have. Which story do I pick? I have a bunch that are borderline political because there's just so much stuff going on in tech that's super
It's kind
political
of
right
hard to
now.
avoid.
It's very hard to avoid. Let's talk about this one. So, because I think that's the farthest away from political. You may or may not have heard that a certain Elon M put in a bid for, what was
Leon.
it? Leon, okay, that guy, the ex guy, The Doge guy, whatever. He put in a bid recently for OpenAI for 900 and something billion, I think. As far as
97 billion.
or 97,
97 billion.
97, okay, it's like it's just a ridiculous number anyway. He wants to own OpenAI. There was a and there was a really funny little interview with Sam Altman, which I also not a fan of his, but the answer that he gave was quite was spot on and quite good, I think, because he said, "I'm like he's like yeah, let him." It's like if I mean all that tells me is that he literally with his XAI has nothing to offer, and that's the best he can do: throw money at us and buy us. Literally, that's the best he can do. So he's like, "Yeah, we're not selling."
That's a pretty big clap
Yeah, he's like, "We're not
back.
selling. We're not for sale. Like, forget it." So that was actually, I said, that was really nice. I said, I don't like Sam Altman either. It's like they're
Yeah,
both
I'm with
terrible.
you.
So it's like my opinion. Yeah, whatever. But it that was funny. So now Elon Musk has kind of added another thing to it. I'm almost, and I'm not a legal expert. It almost feels like, at least to me, like it's a little bit of blackmail. I mean, maybe it's just marketing and whatever political stuff. Who knows? But it's like he basically, he being Elon Musk, is now saying, "Well, I'll withdraw my bid if you, dear OpenAI, stop the like the movement that they've started going from the nonprofit to from a nonprofit company with a let's say side for profit side company kind of to a fully
Right.
for profit company, which they've been transitioning to very openly and to a lot of grumbling from a lot of people. But I mean, they're doing it so far, and he's like, "I'll pull my 97.4 billion bid for OpenAI if you stay a nonprofit." Which I'm like, well, that's also pretty bad if that's like, "Hey, we can only compete with you if you're a nonprofit." I'm like, okay.
So there's several things to think about here. First, the first question is OpenAI even worth 97 billion?
Given that Microsoft has, I think, invested 100 billion, granted, a lot of it is compute credits on Azure, but I think Microsoft has, was it 100 billion? I think it was 100 billion. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I think it was 100
It
billion.
was 50. Is it
Maybe it was
50?
50, but I mean, at this point, who knows? They
Yeah.
might have invested 100 by now, and a lot of other
Right.
companies have also invested. I would say, and given how many people are using it right now and are paying for it or using it for free, I wouldn't be surprised if their market cap right now was 97.
Well, I'm just thinking as an investor, given the fact that it's still a very much a tumultuous situation with AI, it'd be pretty difficult to pick the winners now, say 5 years from now. Certainly, OpenAI is in a very good position. Okay, so maybe it is, but it's still a risk. I think you'd agree. It's still a risk.
Oh, 100%. I mean,
That 5 years from now, there might be three other companies that are more valuable than OpenAI.
Yeah, it's like yeah, no, I mean there's a big risk, but there's also a risk that OpenAI is the only company. I mean,
Yeah,
I'm
that's
all
true.
for competition. I mean, there is competition. There is gonna be competition from China. That is a guarantee. But I'm kind of like, we had that discussion. Was it like a couple of weeks ago about what was it, Deep Search? It's like, okay, which one do you want?
DeepSeek,
DeepSeek, sorry,
yeah.
yes. It's like, which one do you want? The Chinese the
Chinese
Chinese the
one,
Chinese biased
yeah.
one or the American biased one? Like, which one do you want to have? Like, it's like that's so that there is gonna be competition from China, at least from what we can see today. But it would still be good to also have within the US some competition. So, and OpenAI is quite a big player. I just checked. It is currently valued, at least that's what it's saying here, at 157 billion. I don't know how old that information is.
Well, but that's based on what investors were willing to pay.
Well,
So when
that's always that way. Valuation is anyway completely arbitrary. It's like what are people willing to pay, and that's what your market valuation is. And if people are willing to pay half of that, then your market valuation just halved. Like there's literally no reason behind it.
But the difference between a company like this that is getting private investment and is not public yet is the number of people that are setting that valuation is much smaller than if it was a public company with stock. You know, public company with stock, yeah, it's somewhat arbitrary, but it's based on, you know, a million investment firms determining what the stock price is worth, what the stock is worth. Anyway, so I think there's some question about that. The second thing is, you know, like you said, Sam Altman is no better than Musk, and we've already seen major problems at OpenAI with the personnel and organization. I mean, I can see Sam Altman crashing and burning very easily.
I mean, in that sense, Elon Musk buying it would make no difference because it's two people who buy stuff and then crash and burn it. So, I mean, including the US government.
And don't really, yeah, don't really know how to run organizations. You know, Musk doesn't run any organization. He has people that run it for him.
No,
Sam
he's not.
Altman doesn't seem to know how to run it.
He just thinks he knows everything. That's the difference.
Right, he knows everything.
He knows everything better. It's like no, it's like exactly that. I mean, if the what was last year some point the whole kerfuffle with the board and Sam Altman is out and then Sam Altman is back in and the board is gone and all of that and now they're transitioning to a for profit and all of that. If that has told you anything, it's like he doesn't have a clue. He's just
Well,
cashing out on or cashing in on what's going on in like OpenAI and they are right now the focal point of a lot of the AI investment, not necessarily the innovations, but the investments.
And they lost personnel that the woman who was the CTO that went and started her own company.
That's exactly what's happening. There's like, I mean, that's the good thing. There's tons of competition and tons of really good competition. So, yeah, but it's gonna be interesting to see. Either way, I'm like, I don't
Well,
like this.
and
I don't like this kind of behavior. I said it might all just be bluster and marketing and
It just
whatever.
gets in the way. It
Yeah,
just gets in
like
the way of stuff
drug
happening.
hastes, whatever. I don't know what's like people do, but like who knows? But it just irks me that this is the way to do it. Like, oh, we're gonna force we're basically we're strong arming you into changing or not doing the thing you want to do.
Yeah,
Like that's kind of the thing.
it's like 2 8-year-olds having an argument, you know. I mean, Elon is still pissed off
I think you're
about getting run out
overestimating
of.
their age, by
Okay, 6 year-olds.
the way.
You know, Elon is still.
I've seen more mature 6-year-olds, so sorry. 3-year-olds,
know,
okay.
Elon is still pissed off about getting run out of OpenAI, right? He's just messing with them. He doesn't want to buy him, you know. He's just messing with.
Well, we thought that about Twitter.
Well, I still don't think he wanted to buy it. He ended up buying it, but I don't
He
think he
ended up
wanted
being
to.
forced to buy it.
Right. Anyway, yeah.
I mean, he did put in the bid. He signed the contract. So, like that's the thing with him. That could totally happen. Where he's like, I mean, I don't know why he does it or what under what influence he is or whatever happened. But like, he just signs it and then realizes that he didn't want to buy it, and then it's too late. So that would be bad.
I think it'd be funny if something similar happened here with OpenAI, that he signed some intent to purchase and he was forced to buy him, and then
I
he
mean,
and Sam had to get along somehow.
that would be hilarious. I mean, no, that wouldn't happen. Sam would probably just get fired like minute one. It's not gonna happen. Like, no, but it's like, no, because there can only be one person that's the best at everything, and it's Elon Musk. So, no, it's like in on one hand, I actually would root for this happening because I would like that would be spectacular. Just watch
It would be
OpenAI
fun.
completely implode, and it
I
would
would
be good
watch
for the
that on my
market
big screen TV. Yeah, get some
on
popcorn on
YouTube,
YouTube.
YouTube live stream. Yeah, it's like that would be funny, and then like I mean, funny in a sense. It would be sad for the people working there because that would
Oh
really
man.
suck. but like funny to
Be
watch it from the
terrible.
outside. Yeah, and it would be good for the market and good for competition because OpenAI is the gorilla right now and is sucking up a lot of the
Yeah.
hot air. Actually, that's a good
Yeah.
like good ML, like good idea. That's sucking up the hot air. That's the AI market right now. Because it is literally, I mean, it's here to stay, but it's also a bubble right now, so it will implode.
Is definitely a bubble.
Yeah, but I mean, it is also here to stay. We will have AI in one shape or form from now on.
Well, it's just like the so-called internet boom and bust, right? The internet
The
didn't go
internet
away.
bubble,
It's just all the stupid companies crashed.
yeah, the dot-com bubble. Well, and then other stupid companies grew out of that, so. It's like now we have a Meta and a Google.
Yeah, we're never lacking for stupid companies.
Yes. OpenAI. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. We would have time for another article if you have one or if you have something you want to talk about. I don't, but if you have something. If not, we
I
can.
have one that is just kind of short, maybe.
Okay, then let's do that and then we'll do cool things.
Okay. It's more kind of a newsy item. So it's a rumor coming from the investment industry, Baird, BAIRD, they state that they're hearing rumors that there's a possibility that TSMC and Intel will get together on a joint venture to build fabs. And the idea would be basically TSMC could help Intel get their act together on manufacturing and take some of the load off. And it's funny because Intel used
That
to be
is
the
literally
800-pound gorilla in manufacturing, and they're
and
in
they're
such
now
bad shape.
yeah it says here in the headline, I don't know, I haven't fact checked it, it's the lowest, the market share, the microprocessor market share is the lowest since 2002.
Yeah, if you just take the snapshot, they're losing market share to AMD big time and others.
Yeah, and others, especially the mobile, especially the TSMC produced chips, like a lot of mobile chips.
Well, and TSMC is producing a lot of Intel chips already, which
Yeah,
is the really
that's the
funny
other funny
thing.
thing. They're better at producing Intel chips than Intel
And I'm sure there is some discussion about this, especially since the Intel CEO got whacked a couple of
Oh,
months
yeah.
ago and they're trying to figure out what
Yeah, true.
direction to go.
Yeah.
But Intel would have to cede a lot of money or royalties or license fees or something to get TSMC to do this. But on the other hand, it would be nice to have a competitor to TSMC because they're not the 800-pound gorilla, they're the 8,000-pound gorilla.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're the only ones. It's sort of a flywheel thing because the investment needed to keep up with technology and semiconductor manufacturing is so high. You have to have a lot of profits to fuel that investment. And really, TSMC is the only company generating enough profits.
Yeah, and I mean that's a problem for the innovation side. I mean, for the
That's
manufacturing
right.
itself, okay, it's like that's fine, but like if there was one, okay, fine, but like the innovation side suffers because all of a sudden you're only as smart as that one company, and
Right.
as much money at the as they can throw at it, and they probably could throw a lot of money at it, and they are doing that. Sometimes it's better to have other sources of competition, of innovation, of ideas. So it's
I
sometimes
agree.
better to have that come from different sources and then
And
everybody
to be fair to
benefits.
Intel, they have innovated some things in the last 5, 6 years that have
Yeah,
been
sure.
really good.
Yeah. They
Some
just can't
particular parts
produce
of
it and get it
manufacturing.
out there.
Yeah, well, they can't produce all of it. They come up with one cool thing like backside power delivery, but then they screw something else, which screws up the whole process.
Yeah, it's like, but that's
But
always the, I mean, a lot of startups have that problem. They might have a really cool idea. Some of them don't, but a lot of them might have a really cool idea. They might even have the technical chops to kind of build it or do it or whatever it is. But if you can't get it out there and ship it to customers in a way that
in
customers
volume,
actually want
yeah.
it in the volume that they need, I mean, if the volume could be 10, like it depends on what it is. But in the volume that customers want it, in the quality that customers want, and it works, then you're going to fail. Like you
That's
can build
true.
the best gadget, even nobody ever uses it or nobody ever sees it because you're kind of failing at finishing it.
Happens all the
Happens all the
time,
time. Every innovator has
so
that problem.
here's the funny twist to this. If they do come up with a joint venture and essentially Intel gets technology from TSMC and can kind of reproduce their process, what if Apple switched to Intel? After losing Apple 15 years ago for mobile,
That
I think
is
that
a
would be very funny.
that would be funny, but I also think that is a very interesting question we should ponder on a Friday, whether Apple would do that or not. Yes. Yeah, but it's like, I mean, there's a lot of other companies that would also, I mean, the same thing. There's like the
Nvidia,
Samsungs,
everybody.
Nvidia. There's like a lot of companies who would probably,
AMD, Qualcomm.
would probably like to. Yeah, I mean, the other part is also like if you're TSMC and you have some really, really big contracts, what's the chance for smaller contracts to even get in the queue at all or get priority in the queue?
Not for the advanced nodes, they have no hope.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes having something like an Intel that takes the load off a little bit allows others then to also come in and do cool things.
Yeah, they might do a thing where they would license the technology, but they'd be restricted in customers. They could only use it for internal designs or with customers that TSMC approves or something so
Yeah,
that they don't
could
take any
be.
business from TSMC.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Or whatever, you get 5% of all business that you make with it. Like that's actually more likely that they would do it this way and say, okay, whatever,
Just get
like
a
it's fine,
royalty,
but you
yeah.
get a royalty and whatever, couple percent of every customer we get.
Right.
Okay, fine. It's usually a luxury problem because you're like, okay, I'm making money, so it's like taxes. If you have to pay taxes, usually it means you're making money.
Making that's right.
Usually, not always. Yeah,
Unless
anyway.
you're a big American corporation that never pays taxes.
Yeah, well, that's a different story.
Right.
Anyway, you know who is paying taxes? No, we're not. Because we're not a company, we're not making money. But we have a really cool, I don't know, that was the worst transition I think ever. I want to talk about our live stream, and I don't know how I ended up with money. No, we have a really cool live stream, and we have a really cool live chat. And if you are, like, if you're joining us when we are recording, which is usually 7 p.m. UK time on a Thursday for this very show, just follow us on social media. We're posting, like, on not on X, by the way, but on Mastodon, on Blue Sky, on or a couple others probably, or in our Slack room, which you can also join. If you just follow us there, you will also get pinged whenever. Actually, with Fediverse stuff, you can even follow our live stream, get pinged there. Like, there's so many ways to get informed. And then you head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com, and that's it, literally. It's like YouTube. There's a live video, there's a chat right next to it. You start typing, you can talk to us. That's where we put the links for the story. So when I say, oh, Tom put the first story in, that's literally what I meant because I saw it here pop up on the stream. It's really easy, it's really nice, it just works. It generates like really cool names like Gifted Nook. But if you want it, you can just change it. Up top, there's a little purple button. Click on it, change name, done. Super easy. Like it couldn't be easier. No registration required. So yeah, long story short. It's a really cool system, and if you want to join us, oh, I forgot. I see, I just forgot to switch it. It still says the Mac show. But anyway, if you want to join us for the Mac show, that's Friday, 4 p.m. UK times. That's when we talk about all the cool, non-Apple things that we also do and that are really interesting sometimes. So yeah, it's really interesting. But if you're listening to this in like your favorite podcast player of choice, you're like, hey, I would really like to get to the stories that we talked about or the cool things that are coming up, the links to that. You can still get to the transcript for that chat. So everything is preserved. And all you have to do is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then you select a date. And if you were to select what is today, the 13th of February, 2025. Yes, I had to think about that. Then you would see everything that we talked about today, and it's literally live. Like, I can click on the page right now and I see the last story that Tom threw in like 10 minutes ago. So it's live as if, if Tom now puts his cool thing in, then it will update. So that's how cool it is. And speaking of cool things, let's talk about that, Tom.
Cool things.
That is a cool thing.
I do have a cool thing. It is basically a light for streaming from Logitech, the Litra Glow. Litra, I think, is that? Litra? Litra.
Litra. Glow, maybe. Litra.
It's
Litra.
American, so it'd be Litra.
Yeah, probably.
Everywhere else, it's a Litra.
isn't Logitech in whatever? Isn't it a European company? So it's maybe Litra.
Maybe. I always think of them as being in over in Fremont. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I mean, they either way probably have a US like office somewhere. That
I'll go with Litra.
Litra.
it's a pretty simple, reasonably inexpensive light you can use for streaming. I'm using one now, and what I liked about it is it's pretty low cost. It's like 50 or 60 bucks. It mounts pretty well on monitors. It's got a very simple clip that's very flexible, and it swivels.
Mm-hmm.
It uses the Logitech app. I forget what their app is called. So you can control the brightness, the tone of the light just from the computer. You don't have to reach and grab and do switches. It does have physical buttons on it as well. So it swivels. It's got a nice color. It's not a pro. If you're doing pro stuff, you don't want this. But for somebody like me, it's fairly simple and it's easy to set up. The app is pretty good. And so I have a Logitech camera and this light. It all works on the same app, so I can control everything in one app.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, one, super useful. It's not so big, so you can easily take it with you when you're traveling.
Yes.
It's really useful. Like, you want to do a podcast from your hotel room. And the lighting is kind of weird, actually. And maybe I should buy one of these now that you mentioned
it. I was going to say, next time you go to Lisbon.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually not a bad idea because the lighting in the hotel room is kind of weird. I should do that. That's actually not a bad idea. And I'll think about that in a second. Yeah, anyway, like, super small, easy to travel with. And yeah, you have good lighting no matter where you are. So,
right.
Pretty cool. By the way, I did check. It's a Swiss company.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a Swiss company from Lausanne. But they do have an office in San Jose. North First Street, if you want to know where. 3930, it says here.
No, so really? 3930?
Yeah, North Street. North First Street.
I used to work to...
Maybe that's why you remember probably. You thought they were somewhere in your area. Yeah, but they're originally actually and still the headquarters in Switzerland.
Okay, good. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, I was wondering because I did remember that they were somewhere European, but I wasn't sure from where. Yeah, the good European things usually come from Switzerland. It's unfortunate. Innovation hub of Europe right now. Anyway. I see. Now I forgot what I wanted to look up my cool thing. So it's an app or app / online service. It's called TradingView. Let me throw that in here real quick. So if you are into trading stocks or ETFs or whatever, or you're just interested and just like to follow and see what's going on there, and you're not really investing, you're just like, I like to see what's going on and understand the financial whatever, dig into diagrams and graphs and do data, whatever, like all of it, you can do that. And
serious graphs.
This is a really good app. I don't know if it's the best, but I've seen it so many times and so many people that recommend it that I'm kind of thinking maybe it is the best right now. I kind of stumbled onto it. You can do literally, as I said, I'm not serious. I have some investments. that I kind of keep track of, and I do invest here or there a little bit, but I'm not serious about it. I really like half of the year I really don't care about it at all. I'm like, it's just sitting there and I don't even look at it. And then every now and then I go in and I'm like, oh, maybe I should have a look, and then invest some or sell some or whatever. And this thing helps me with that, because you can kind of see trends, you can dive into the press releases, the financial releases, like how much are they the last quarters, how much have they spent, how much money have they made, what were taxes, what are the our financial outlooks that they put out, the statements, whatever, like all the financial data you can in a very easy app see. It is free. There's some ads, I think, if you don't pay for it. But and there's some extra features you get when you pay. I'm actually right now not paying because I'm like, I don't use it enough. But I probably would if it was if I was using it more.
I
And it's
think
like
this
which
looks pretty good.
it's really cool. And
Yeah.
you can have like watch lists, so you can put your favorite stocks in, so you can just easily stop through them. So it's like I said, it's a really cool, very it's not I wouldn't call it a simple app. It is for sure not the Apple stock ticker or even Yahoo Finance, which seems to be, it's funny, like Yahoo Finance seems to be, I've asked people and they're like, yeah, that's kind of still the place to go. I'm like,
It is. Google
interesting.
Finance and Yahoo Finance
Yeah.
are still my go-to
Yeah. I'm
places,
like,
but the graphs and stuff are
interesting.
horrible.
Yeah. I'm like, but for most people, for the simple things, like totally fine. You just get the news, what's going on, and like see the stock market a little bit and look up some whatever, what's the price for whatever. Totally fine. But this goes 17,000 levels deeper. So I said, I'm
Well,
pretty
just
sure I've only
getting.
scratched the surface of what this thing can do, and understanding even what all the things mean. Like, it does all the like weird math things with like sliding windows. It's like, okay, like the 30-day average and whatever. It's like all of that stuff that I'm still learning a little bit. My boss is really good at it, and he's been teaching me a little bit. So.
Yeah, it's just good to, once you understand, I mean, you understand the basic mathematics of statistics and
Yeah,
stuff. So
exactly. That's
you know what
important. Yeah.
they, right. And
And
then
you
you need
also
to
know,
understand what it's telling you.
yeah, exactly. Also the error bars, and also you also have to understand that statistics are sometimes a bad predictor for the future. It's like stuff like that. So just because something has been going up over the last whatever 5 years, 10 years, doesn't mean it's gonna go up forever. Stuff like that. I mean, the stock market anyway is mostly it's not a lot of math. It's a lot of feeling. It's really funny.
Emotion. It's a lot
Emotion,
of
feeling.
emotion.
Yeah. People think it's like very rational. I'm like, yeah, no. I
No,
mean, there's a
it's
lot of
totally
math involved
irrational.
to analyze it and to see like what people are feeling and where the trend is going, whatever. There's tons of math and statistics involved in that. But at the end of the day, it's like, what are people feeling about whatever how our company is doing?
Yes.
Has nothing to do with facts.
So maybe with TradingView, you can track the AI bubble.
Yeah, you actually can. Now, if you
Yeah.
look at, I mean, Nvidia, for example, super, super clear to see. I mean, Nvidia has been a successful company way before AI, but right now it is especially, like, you can see that. Nvidia is one of them where it's like very clear.
Think NVIDIA is a good company, has always been a good company, but it was moving based on, like propeller engines. And then AI put supercharged ramjets on it,
Yes.
And it's probably way overvalued, but it's still a good company.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's for if you, I mean, it's too late to, and this is not advice at all to invest, but it's way too late to invest into OpenAI because sorry, not OpenAI, no, into Nvidia, because now everybody has done it. But they're gonna be around no matter what happens. I mean, right now I'm just looking at it, like it's here in when was that? 2023. They were December 2023. They were at like $130, and they've been at that for quite a long time, quite consistently. And right now they're at like 150 something. So going up and up. And I mean that's just the last couple of years. So if you go back farther, yeah, as I said.
Crazy.
Yes.
My advice, buy high, sell low. Oh, wait,
Wait a
no, buy
second.
low, sell high.
Yes. I mean, yes. No, my advice is pick your partner and go have fun together.
There you go. That's good advice.
All right. Speaking of fun, what fun places can people find out more about you?
The fun place they can find out about me, Patrice, is on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
That is a fun place. Definitely
It
a
is a
fun.
fun place.
That is a fun place. And somewhere in the Bay Area having fun. Valentine's Day with your partner, so.
Yes, tomorrow, Valentine's Day. Very important to my wife.
Yes, it is. Good. You can find more about me on, well, I'm here every week, also tomorrow, by the way, Mac Show. We got some stuff to talk about. There was tons of Apple stuff again.
Yeah.
So that will be an interesting show. We'll see how far we get with what was announced. There might be more by the time we talk about it. You can find out everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And yeah, I have Retro Rewatch still with the Jeff Gammett guy. I hope I'm opening up my mug again because I love that mug and the tea tastes way better out of that mug. I can tell you that. Yeah, no, it's like really cool show. We watch retro TV shows. We started to move into season two of Stargate SG-1. So we're getting into some really interesting story arcs that are starting out involving our good friend Carter. And yeah, next episode should be out tomorrow or Saturday, depending on how fast I am with editing. I might be able to do that tonight. If I do so, Gamekeeper is the next one. So will be an interesting one. Very apropos since what we talked about was like VR. So. Can look forward to that. By the way, British Tech Network is also on Mastodon, British Tech at techhangout.social, and also on Blue Sky at BritishTechNetwork.com if you want to reach out to us. And I think there's still an email address somewhere at BritishTech at gmail.com, I think. BritishTech at gmail.com, this way, email addresses. So, yeah. So, reach out to us if you want to talk to us. And yeah, with that, talk to you next week. Thanks for listening and see you soon. Bye bye.